Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. They're the exclusive distributor of Master Meter AMI-AMR technology. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Now, if you listened to our last episode, you already got to know the former mayor who served for 24 years in his city when he thought he would be enjoying a laid-back retirement. Today, we continue our conversation to hear more about the things he did and about the things that you can enjoy in the place that he calls home. We're going to go talk some more with Mayor Billy Trapnell in the small town of Metter, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. But life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by Koch Industries. Just like the great small towns we feature on Small Town Podcast, every great company has a story. From its humble beginnings starting out in Middle America in the 1960s, Koch Industries has become one of the largest privately held companies in the nation and has achieved an international presence in 50 countries around the globe. The companies of Koch Industries create innovations in transportation, medical care, water filtration, building materials, household goods, and so many other products and technologies that impact our lives every day. You can see more of the Koch story, both where they've come from and where they're going, by visiting kochind.com/podcast. All right, well, we've already been talking about Metter. Obviously, you can't talk about the story of your life without talking about your involvement and the things that have gone on in Metter. But let's talk more specifically about it. First of all, I should ask this question. What's the population of Metter, and maybe how has that changed over the years?
According to the census, I believe it's around 4,300.
Mm-hmm.
It's grown.
Do you remember what it was when you first took office?
Be honest with you, no. We had the opportunity, I think it was good with Governor Perdue, to serve on the Is it total count? Anyway, the state census committee. And when we started with that, the way they had it laid out, I thought, we have finally got a system that's going to get a good count. But before we got through, it seemed to have fallen apart like a house of cards. Mm. I'm not sure what the best way. I'll give you an example. Prior to going on that, the year the census prior to that showed we had four people in growth,
mm-hmm.
and we had installed 150 residential water meters.
I was going to say, that's a pretty good way to determine if you've got some growth
and,
right there.
You know, besides those that were you know, maybe outside the community, outside the city limits.
Sure.
But, you know, there has to be some better way.
You don't start 150 new utility accounts and have four new people at the same time.
But, you know, it's almost like challenging the tax IRS to get anything changed. But anyway, we got a little better count. One of the things, we have a major farmer that has a camp.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be migrant workers, but they're here pretty much year-round now. Has some that come in when the season onions come in. But he called me one day, and he had been at his daughter's in Gainesville and said he heard on the TV that they were counting the students in the colleges and in the jails. He said, they've never counted the folks at my camp.
Yeah.
He said, I've got 300 out there.
Hmm.
So it took almost an act of Congress, it seemed like.
To get those 300
counted? I said,
counted.
Well, since I'm on that committee, I can reach out and touch.
But right. Even then.
It doesn't move too fast.
So 4,300, give or take.
Give
several
or take.
Hundred.
I really think we've got more than that. The county has between 10 and 11,000. And I think without a doubt, there's more than that out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that have built, I mean, nice homes.
Yeah.
They left to be in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's their choice.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's got to be a better way to do the census. I don't know what it is.
Now, you mentioned the farming operation. Is that the major industry in the county? Obviously, in the city, you get a little bit of, I'll call it tourism, because that exit we talked about,
yeah.
You get a little bit of growth and business from that.
We do, but agriculture, well, if you look at the state of Georgia.
Oh, sure.
That's still number one.
And most of the South Georgia counties exactly reflect that. So
Sometimes Atlanta forgets about us, but agriculture is number one in Georgia, and it is for Candler County. Although most of the small farms are gone,
mm-hmm.
most of them did have farms now
are
I won't say mega, but they're big farmers.
What are some of the other industries or businesses that are maybe in Metter specifically that are I guess some of the larger employers?
Well, two of the cooperatives that are here. We have Pineland Telephone Cooperative,
mm-hmm.
Which has been ahead of the curve. I'm trying to think. They're 70 years or something like that. And we've got fiber optic to every residence in Candler County.
Wow.
I think they may have almost finished. I think they're in six counties, and there may be one county that they're finishing up now.
Okay.
All of their customers have fiber optic to the house.
Wow. So you guys are not suffering the same rural broadband issues as the rest of the state. You guys kind of, at least through that organization, have been ahead of things.
Right.
Okay.
Interestingly, they are, through a subsidiary that they formed, they're going into Swainsboro, which was AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
They already have East Georgia, most of the governmental offices, going into the residential and providing them telephone and video. They have the Pineland TV Plus,
mm-hmm.
and internet. They're going into Vidalia. They're going into a number of the towns around us, Louisville. And what really will shock you, they're going into Americus.
Okay, that's a good bit away from here. So, okay.
They're forming a partnership with the rural co-op there.
Okay.
And they're spreading out all over the place.
So for Metter and some of the other communities you just named, when a new business wants to come in, that's that's one less obstacle, because there are communities that have that as a, hey, we'd love to put a business here, but if we don't have reliable, you know, broadband,
yeah.
So that's great.
And whatever amount of data you need,
mm-hmm.
Bandwidth, they say whatever you can get in Atlanta, you can get here.
Okay. That's
they're on a big
great.
Trunk. I've got a, 100 meg router in my house, and I get 119 download,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's about 20 something up.
Up, yeah.
And it
if you get that at your house, and they can do even more for a business. That's
yeah.
one less thing to keep a business from coming. So that's a great asset right
yeah.
there.
But likewise, we have Excelsior EMC.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rural cooperative. And they provide electricity into, I think, about 5 or 6 counties, all the way up to, you know where Coleman's Lake is?
No.
Okay. upper end of Emanuel County.
Okay.
A major portion or a good portion of Georgia Southern in Bullock County. They're a very good cooperative. We have a company we had Wallace Business Forms came in here in the 70s. They printed continuous feed business forms like your American Express
mm-hmm.
credit card. They would print those forms for them. And at one time they had a truckload of data of those going out. They were the most productive and most efficient in that company, in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
They were bought out by Wallace Business Forms, and then R.R. Donnelly
yep.
came in and bought them.
Okay.
And they went around and closed a lot of their plants.
Okay, so they moved them when R.R. Donnelly came in.
It was one of the latter ones that they closed because of the efficiency they had,
mm-hmm.
and it has a large warehouse that provided for the Southeast distribution. And that really hurt because those were wonderful
yeah.
salaries and benefits. And we were, that building was empty, 30,000 square feet.
Oh, wow.
For almost 2 years. And a company, Linzer Paint Products.
Mm-hmm.
They make, out here, they make the rollers. But they've been in business since 1890-something.
Okay. So they came in and took up that space for,
yeah.
I guess that'd be light manufacturing?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they anticipate at some point having 200 employees.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think they're right at 100, because I haven't heard in a year.
Yeah.
Haven't explored it. But it's been a wonderful addition
yeah.
to the community.
Now, beyond facts and figures, and you've kind of already spoken to this for you, what do you think, sets Metter apart? What is it that makes it unique as a small town? Obviously, it was a place that you never really considered leaving. It's always been home. But what makes Metter special?
Well, one of the things, and there may be some others, but I know Savannah was a planned city.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Metter was too.
Okay.
In 1899, and we still got a surveyor's rendering of that in the City Hall Council Room. One of our prominent landowners had the city laid out with the double drives. And the downtown, I don't know whether you've been yet,
mm-hmm.
The big wide downtown parking area. They used to be central of Georgia. The railroad came through.
Oh, okay.
And when the railroad quit coming through, they deeded that center part. It was interesting. Railroad owned from business front to business front. The whole downtown was railroad property.
Yeah.
And the depot was right in the center of town. We moved it 2 blocks to the east. And that, our central business district now, is on the historic register as are three residential districts.
Okay.
And we've got that major park down there. Two years ago,
mm-hmm.
They have completed. We took out 20-something oaks. We were not popular.
When you take down a bunch of trees, yeah.
Right.
People come to your meetings and complain, I guess.
But when some of the, hopefully there were more people than I'm familiar with, saw the trunks, we had a few live oaks that we saved. Mm-hmm. Live oaks are good for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
But these were water oaks, the majority.
Yeah. We've had a little experience with those, Nocilla.
They can kill somebody in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And we use that park, well, we use all three parks for a festival in the Saturday before Easter.
Okay.
It's another blooming festival.
I heard some references to that as I was doing a little research. Another blooming festival. Tell us about that. How did that get started? How long has that been going? And I assume the blooming is about flowers and not a blooming onion.
Yes.
But yes. That's what someone said. Is that about onions? I said,
well
I mean, you're kind of near Vidalia, so maybe.
Yeah, well, we've got some restaurants that do some incredible onion rings.
Yeah.
But this was... I guess you wouldn't say sarcastically formed, but, you know, there's festivals everywhere.
Right.
And Colonel Franklin, who owns the Ace Hardware, at a meeting said, won't we just call it another blooming festival?
So kind of make fun of all the other festivals, the fact there's so many. Y'all just have another.
But the fact that we do it in the spring... Sometimes we hit it just right, and all the azaleas and the cherries and everything is in bloom.
Mm-hmm.
But with Easter bouncing around,
right?
Sometimes you're too early, sometimes you're too late. It's worked so well because people quite often will come home for Easter.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost like a community reunion.
Yeah.
Somebody you graduated high school with and you hadn't seen in years. You'll run into them in the park.
Yeah.
And families come home and plan their Easter gathering.
Uh-huh.
And Saturday's a day that just, you might say, a fellowship. We've had estimates of up to 15,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
We have some excellent crafters.
Yeah.
Music all day long.
Yeah.
The park... on the west end with the fountain is where we have the really nice crafters,
mm-hmm.
and the food booths. And we have all kinds of food.
Mm-hmm.
And they're chosen. In other words, they have to be cleared before we bring them in.
They have to pass muster. You're particular. You want to make sure it's all good food.
Makes it good food. It's reasonable. They're not jipping anybody or anything like that.
So even though it's another blooming festival, you just don't have another blooming vendor.
Correct. You're right. And then the Center Park is more of a commercial. Some of the businesses here, car dealerships or whatever, will bring in
mm-hmm.
products. And then the third one is you'll have T-shirts and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And then in the... Depot, which is another interesting location. The depot was built, I think, in 28. And we moved it from the center of town down two blocks. And in the late 80s, it had deteriorated till it was really an eyesore.
Mm.
And the city and the paper took the Central Georgia to task on somewhat of a regular basis. So they gave it to the city. And I still remember reading in the paper, it was easy to complain when it was theirs, but now how, what we don't do with it.
Yeah.
But he formed a committee, and the good Lord provided the ideal person. He grew up here. His dad was the depot manager.
Mm-hmm.
There's a word, it won't come to me. Back in the early 1900s and 20s, and he played in there. Mm-hmm. Well, he went to World War II, came back, went to college, became an interior designer, lived in Atlanta. Banks, C&S Bank was one of his prime customers.
Wow.
He would go in and design their banks, the interior.
Yeah.
And he retired and came home. And he agreed to chair that committee.
Wow.
So he had not only the love, but the ability.
Yeah.
To do it and do it right. And if you got a minute, I'll be glad to take you by there.
Sure.
Well, I can get a key maybe. Used to have one on my keychain. But it was done really well. We have reunions, meetings.
So it's a community asset that people can rent out or use it for community events.
And it's used quite a bit. But anyway, that is used for a flower show. And trying to think what else in reference to the, there's all kind of the inflatable.
Yeah. Sounds like quite an event. Yeah.
It really
is. Yeah.
But that's one of the big events that takes care of downtown. Of course, we have a harvest. I don't know whether they call it, used to call it Harvest Festival. But anyway, something geared toward agriculture.
Yeah.
And bring a lot of the old equipment in.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually in the fall.
Yeah. Let me ask this, and it's kind of some questions I like to ask in all small towns. So in most places, or at least in small towns, there's often, not always, but often a person, sometimes maybe a club or organization, that has what I'll call outsized influence. And if you want to have a new initiative or a new project, you go to that person and make sure they're behind it. and if they're not, then you might run into trouble. And that person is usually not an elected official. It's just someone in the community that just kind of is fairly influential. Yeah. So who is that in Metter?
Probably our newspaper publisher, Carvey Snail.
Okay.
Carvey, incidentally, pretty much started the festival.
Oh, okay.
He's retired after 20 years, I think it was. Might have been 25. Anyway, he is retired, but he has the ear of the people
mm-hmm.
through his publication.
Sure.
And if it's a worthy project or event, he'll publicize it
right.
editorially or ads or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a wonderful asset. He's got, I don't even know where he keeps them, the plaques that he's gotten from Georgia Municipal Association.
Mm.
Georgia Press Association. He wins awards every year.
Yeah.
For either editions or photographs or something. He's been president of that association also. So he carries a good bit of clout.
Good bit of influence, even though he's not elected.
Right.
There's always someone like that. Sometimes it's a sure. banker or a lawyer. That might be the first time someone said the publisher of the newspaper, although I imagine they have a little bit of influence in every town. That's good. You got somebody to get behind and push in a very positive direction.
And while there were some things that I wish he wouldn't have put in there during my tenure, he was doing his job.
Right.
You can
look back and say he was fair about it.
He was fair.
Yeah.
He told the facts.
He told the way it was.
In fact, I don't know whether he, I'm trying to think how I wound up being on a panel with the Georgia Press Association.
Hmm. He roped you in? He roped you into that?
Well, potentially. But one of their coordinators
mm-hmm.
with Georgia Press invited. I know how it was. It was from the Amy Henderson.
Mm-hmm. I know Amy.
Amy and the lady with Georgia Press, I think.
Uh-huh.
Talking, and they wanted to get somebody from the elected official
okay.
there. And anyway, I wound up being there.
Yeah.
And it was an enjoyable day. And like I told them just that, I said there were times when there were things I didn't, would prefer not being in there.
Sure.
But it was a news article that needed to be covered.
Right, right.
But Carvey would, he never looks for the negative.
Mm-hmm.
You run in, unfortunately, to some of those.
Yeah.
If there's anything good, or he can low-key it, he does what he can to keep matter in a positive light.
Well, that's good.
But now, this past weekend was...
there's always going to be times.
there are times.
Now, and you've already alluded to this, because we've talked already about some of our similar experiences, about council meetings and public hearings, and most of the time in a small community they're pretty quiet, and you know, you just do the business and everybody gets along. But every once in a while a contentious issue comes up, or you kind of end up with a provocative situation. I told you, now if there was a story, maybe it wasn't funny at the time, but hopefully with the passing of time you can kind of look back and laugh at something. So what if anything has happened in your years running council meetings and being a part of the public hearings and things like that? Is there an experience that's particularly memorable? Maybe not for great reason, but it happened.
Well, to be honest with you, I can't think of anything. In going through some of the letters that I got, two stand out from I'm trying to think what grade she was in then. One was from a young lady that sent me a letter, and I had forgotten about her letter then.
Mm-hmm.
I knew we had always been close. I couldn't remember how it got started, but I guess it was from a letter that she sent me and wanted to know how many people work with in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I replied to her, and her spelling at that time was not, she was not a senior. But I replied to her, and the next year there was another letter from, I say next year, I believe it was, her writing was much better. And I assumed that I replied to her, but I didn't have a copy of that. But through the years, she and I always had a good relationship. And I think she came and interviewed me for something her senior year. But last August, I was at Memorial Hospital waiting for our newest grandson to be born. And I saw a nurse with a group following her come in, and they went over to a section in the waiting room, and she was explaining what was going on in this maternity area. And I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and when they broke, this nurse walked over. And I recognized her. And she now is an RN. She was leading a group of the Georgia Southern nurses through Memorial.
Now, is that same young woman who'd written you the letters back and forth and interviewed you? And
Mary Grace Smith.
Yeah.
Exceptional young lady, and is doing well. Now, some of the other letters I got were not quite as... I remember one, we won't use the address name he put on there. But we had celebrated Metter's 100th anniversary, being a city. And when we were trying to set a date... Summer is brutally hot.
Yeah.
So we decided to have it the weekend of Thanksgiving, somewhat like our festival, give an opportunity, people come home, be there.
Yeah.
Brutally cold. And We had got, by having it in an off time, we got an incredible buy on fireworks.
Okay, there's a good benefit of doing something in off season, yeah.
But this one individual that lived about three blocks from there did not appreciate it in the least.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Because of all the fireworks?
Yeah. So, you know, I haven't come up on that letter yet, but I know I saved it because I kept it in my desk drawer.
So not so much things that happened in meetings, but certainly a lot of correspondence, some of which made you very proud, especially when you're running someone later, someone you see someone grow up here and go on to do great things. And then plenty of letters of people letting you know what they're not happy with.
And I've ran across two from people that had, both of them from Savannah, that had gotten traffic tickets on 16. We had...
By Metter PD?
No.
Oh, not even your police department?
Wasn't our police department, Georgia State Patrol.
Okay. But it must have been nearby your big hub exit.
Well, the courthouse was in Metter.
Okay, so that's where they... Okay.
Because I had to check with it. I checked with our officers and our court to make sure it wasn't going there, and it was going to state court. And I replied to them, and I told them, I know how you feel. I got one. Because one of them said they had kicked their crews off in order to get around somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And had already acknowledged earlier that they had it set at 78 prior to that. And anyway, I told her I could appreciate the sentiment. I kicked mine off. Mine was in another state. But 71 and a 55. And I saw this was an unmarked car.
Yeah.
But Crown Vicks somehow draw your attention.
Sure, sure.
And
just the shape of them make you think that might be a police car.
I watched and I saw them pull out. And I told my wife, I said, we fixed an half cup. She said, what are you talking about? Because I looked at my speedometer and it was exactly what their radar said.
Yeah.
And officer was very polite.
Mm-hmm.
She said, after he left, she said, how did he know it was us in all of this? I said, they know. They're very acute at this.
It's that good technology that increases the accuracy.
Exactly right.
Yep.
That LIDAR don't lie.
Yeah.
But anyway, they gave me a ticket, and I paid it, talked with my insurance agent. He said, no, one's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So anyway, perhaps when it comes to our community, we have been blessed through the years to have Rhodes Scholars, doctors, lawyers, and a number of other, probably the person that brings more recognition to Metter is Michael Guido, the sower. And
I remember growing up, and usually during Saturday morning cartoons, there'd be those, I guess I'll call them commercials because it was in between the shows, but The Seed from the Sower with Michael Guido.
Yeah. He was an incredible gentleman, Christian minister. I mentioned earlier, I worked with a newspaper in high school, and we printed his literature.
Hmm.
So I had a little bit of a relationship with him then, had it with him when I was with the post office and when I became mayor. And he, I don't know how much time you've got. There are incredible, miraculous events that have happened with the Guidos.
Mm-hmm.
He drove up one day in a brand new Buick Roadmaster. This would have been in the 60s. And I said, you've got you a new car. And he told me a little bit about it. And he said, the salesman said if I would buy one, he would give me a new one every year.
Wow.
I thought to myself, yeah, that's a shrewd salesman. Well, 40 years later, I had the pleasure of meeting that salesman who now owned the dealership, Bill Stillwell, from Downers Grove, Illinois. And I told him about that, and his son was with him. He was in with the dealership. He said, yeah, I said, we're scared to stop. Because every year, he said, we now do it every 6 months. Either somebody would take the car Michael had and drive it back to Downers Grove and pick up a new one, or he would send one down and bring the one back.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, this had been going on 40 years.
Wow.
And he said, we've got a brand new dealership out on the interstate. And that's just one small one. One day it was raining, and Bill Stillwell's wife was in the studio, and she looked out in the gardens. And if you haven't been to the gardens, you need to go.
Mm.
They're gorgeous. And there was a lady sitting out on a bench in the rain, and she told one of the staff and said, she needs to come inside. And said, no, she wants to be out. Her husband was going through dialysis. You ever heard of Paul Anderson?
Yeah.
Strongest man in the world.
Yeah.
Well, Metter was the first rural dialysis center in the state of Georgia. And his home was in Vidalia.
Okay.
And he came over for dialysis. And she would come to the garden and pray. This day it was raining.
Mm.
And Miss Stillwell said, you need a chapel.
So they built a chapel.
Yeah. She helped design it and was there for the brown baking, but she died before it was completed.
Mm.
Incredible people have been part of that ministry.
Yeah.
He printed at one time their literature. And of course, their tapes go all around the world,
mm-hmm,
to radio stations and TV stations. But there was a individual, they get prayer requests every day.
Yeah.
By mail or email. And they do that before the staff goes to work. They have a prayer meeting. And a gentleman had asked Michael to pray for him for he needed drivers for dump trucks.
For his business?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was having trouble.
He's having business troubles getting employees to.
It was a big construction company.
Mm-hmm.
And they prayed for him, and he came back after a period of time and asked Michael, said, are you still praying? He said, yes. I said, quit.
You got too many?
This is just one of many stories like that. But, and he just started to leave. He said, you always do things for me. What can I do for you? What do you need? He said, I need a printing building. He said, how big? He told him he already had it figured out.
Yeah.
To the inch and to the penny of what it would cost. He said, I can do that. And this wasn't any 40 by 40. I'm not sure, probably over 100 feet by 80, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a nice size,
yeah,
building. And they used that for years. And now they contract it out. But obviously with Michael passing away,
yeah,
the contributions are not as big. They still come in, but not like they did. we borrowed their conference room one time, and one of the fellows there, they have a prayer board. Perhaps I missed that. And anything they needed in the ministry, they pinned it up there and they prayed for it. And one of the fellows looked, and there was a tractor, one that they could use in the grounds, and had a one needed a bucket. And he said, they make those back home. And nothing more was said. And a few weeks later, he called me and he said, on that tractor, talk with the company. I got them down virtually at cost. My family will give the first $5,000. And he got his tractor.
Wow.
But through the years, I've had the opportunity to care people from the weather service, people with senators, and one of the neatest ones, our library, which is across the street from the church. When it was designed, it was to have a French drain, which is nothing more than drain tile underneath it. That particular area was wet. Well, it was a tie into our storm drain system. But they tied it into the storm drain, but they never did hook it to the building.
Oh.
And the joist underneath there had rotted.
Oh, goodness.
And the floors were beginning to sag. The building was only 20 years old.
But that'll do some damage, 30, not having that drain going, yeah.
But anyway, we... got a, got an engineer, structural engineer, come and see if the outside walls were, if it was worth saving. And he said, yeah, the building, outside walls are sound.
Just that joist was.
Yeah, but all the joists. And he said, you've got worlds of mold under there. He said, I've got a friend that does that. And he came, got the friend to come, and with the understanding, we were going to do $1,500. First thing we knew, he was talking in the $5,000 range, and we said, nope.
Yeah.
So he said, we'll just take the building down. He said, well, you'll have to encapsulate it and take it down because of the mold. This is one of the things you get into as mayor. And so I called, that time it was Tribble and Richardson, engineers in Macon. I had known them. Their daughter was our better hometown. And her husband was an attorney here before they moved back to Macon. And talked with the engineer. She said, I said, who does mold? She said, I don't know, but I'll find out. And she called back, and EPD is normally who you don't want.
No, we don't like getting letters from them.
But this fella did asbestos, lead paint, and then said he was the most knowledgeable person with mold. And I called and talked with him. Right now, his name won't come to me. But he and one of his fellow employees were going to FLEXI, down Federal Law Enforcement Academy down in Brunswick. And he said, we'll leave a little early and come by there. They came, brought their suits. They crawled around underneath there, came back up. And said, yeah, there's a world of mold. But nobody regulates mold. EPD, EPA, or OSHA. Nobody regulates it.
Huh.
And he said, I tell you what I'll do. If you'll, all I ask is you let these fellas have an opportunity to bid on the project. I've got three contractors. I can get to come down here and look and offer suggestions on how best to do this. Mm-hmm. And we said, certainly. And those three contractors flew down. Some of them flew, some of them drove. Some were in Atlanta, some were in Augusta. And one of them commented about Guido. And I said, would you? And also, one of the fellows from EPD, when he was going to college in Alabama, he said, that meant the world to me. He said, I don't remember if it was when he was going to bed or getting up, but the program would come on the radio.
Mm-hmm. He listened to it all the time.
Yeah, and I called out there and Michael met with him. Little things like that mean a lot to people. I mean, especially when he's impacted his life.
Oh, yeah.
And it worked out, and neither one of the three got the bid on rebuilding the building. But we got the building fixed. Jack Hill, in looking at our building, got with the state librarian, found out there were other libraries across the state that needed some funding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about Jack. He might have been able to do it for us, but he picked up, put a couple of $1 million in the budget, and you had to apply
mm-hmm.
for it. And we were fortunate enough to be one of those that was granted the money that we needed to fix it up. But not only us, but I think 6 or 7 other libraries
mm-hmm.
were helped across Georgia.
Yeah.
So sometimes your problems help others.
That's right. We all have similar problems in this game.
You're right.
On our last episode, we met with a newer local official in Metter.
Mandy Cody, I serve as city manager for the city of Metter, Georgia.
Today, we continue our conversation and talk about how Metter embraced its agricultural heritage and set a new standard by establishing a brand new designation for towns in rural Georgia. So, Mandy, Georgia Grown is known across the state and actually in our region for the campaign and for what that means. But Georgia Grown in Metter, Georgia, means something I've come to find very, very unique and different. You guys have got some things going on that are really firsts in the state.
Yes.
So talk about some of those exciting things.
Well, we're really excited about our partnership with Georgia Grown. We've been really blessed by Commissioner Black's willingness to work with us, and his team has been great. Again, we were a little bit bold in our move in talking about what opportunities Metter has. We kept coming back to, at heart, we are a rural, agriculturally based economy and community, and wanted to capitalize on that and give our local community a way to develop their businesses. And we knew a little bit about the Georgia Grown program, you know, being the economic development arm for the Department of Agriculture, and what things it was trying to do, not only regionally, but across our country and internationally, to take Georgia products across the world and enhance opportunities for all of our producers. And as we were looking at their mission statement, it was enlightening because, you know, they want to join together the producers and the wholesalers and the consumers. But what we found was there was this gap for local government, and we felt like we could step in at the local government level in Metter and join that partnership in a way that could bring some more opportunities and advantages to the table for Georgia Grown, for the business folks, for the producers, and for our local community. And it's been a wonderful partnership, and it's bringing great things to Metter. So we went to Commissioner Black, and his team made a presentation last July, and just said, Commissioner Black, we'd really like to partner with you guys, and we'd like to become a Georgia-grown community in Metter and show you how to do that. And we think we can do it in a way that other communities who are similar to Metter could replicate that sort of success, both for their community and for Georgia Grown. You know, we weren't arrogant at all. We just knew we could do it,
right.
You know, in a way that everybody could copy. And he was kind enough to give us some attention for a couple hours. And at the end, he said, let's do this. Let's partner.
So before you went with that pitch to Commissioner Black, there was not a designation of any kind that said Georgia grown city, you know, certified city or whatever the so you guys pretty much said, hey, you don't have this yet, but we know we're it.
That's right.
So brag on yourself a little bit. Go ahead and be a little arrogant. What is it about Metter Georgia that made you feel like you were the one to have a designation that didn't exist? It wasn't like they came down and said, hey, we're going to start the certification. Let's see who should apply for it. You went to them and said, hey, we're so Georgia-grown centric.
We did.
That we think you should make this for us.
We did.
And that was bold.
It was bold, and it was, I have to give credit to my economic development director. This really just kind of came out of a brainstorming session in my office one day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes those brainstorming sessions turn into
to
great ideas and opportunities. We were looking for, this really started with a conversation with, we were looking for a way to bring traffic off of Interstate 16, which runs right through our city, mm-hmm. to our downtown. And our historic downtown is only 1 mile, which takes you about a minute to drive. This is not like an Atlanta mile,
where
you're going to be there all day. This is a...
I can vouch for you. I did that today.
Okay, see, thank you. And our downtown is beautiful. You know, it has lots of open green space and historic tree growth and beautiful architecture. And our downtown merchants kept saying, man, there's all this traffic on the interstate. They get off at the interstate. They go through the fast food chain. Maybe they get a tank of gas.
And
they get back on the interstate, and we never get the opportunity to see them. They don't come in our businesses. We need that traffic to come downtown. How can we do that? And so that conversation, we also have a welcome center or a visitor center right at the interstate, right in amongst the fast food chains and the gas stations.
That's how you hook them.
That's how we hook them. So, and we have good numbers. You know, we found that we had a following, that our visitor center actually sort of had a dedicated following of folks who would stop every time they were traveling and visit with us. And so we thought, okay, that's it. That's how we can grab people off that interstate and introduce them to the rest of our community. So out of that was sort of born, well, let's have a retail space where items or services that are offered in the rest of our community could be featured at that welcome center. Mm-hmm. Maybe those folks who are stopping, who are going in, that catches their attention. They see something that they like, and we can then use that opportunity to talk to them about where they could find more of that in our downtown merchants or other parts of our community, and introduce the rest of Metter to folks who thought of us only as their favorite stop on Interstate 16,
right.
You know. So really that's what the retail center was meant to do. It was meant to convert the welcome center in a way that could introduce the travelers to the rest of our community. And as we were talking about, you know, ag is really our biggest local economic sector. It's a big thing in the state of Georgia. We were thinking about this partnership with Georgia Grown, and could we approach them about this partnership? We thought, you know, what would really be great is if our retail center could not just be about Metter-made products, but if it could be about Georgia-grown products, mm-hmm. because Georgia-grown has done such a tremendous job about branding products from around the state and getting that brand recognition as being healthy and delicious and holistic and available, you know, to not only to our state, but to our region and our country. And folks know that brand and have confidence in that brand. And we have so many members of our producing community, our ag community in Metter and Candler County, that were already sort of loosely associated with Georgia Grown, had a lot of respect for Commissioner Black. So it became sort of a natural, well, I think we could do this. Let's talk about making a Georgia Grown retail center at the visitor center at the interstate. And
because the visitor center already existed.
It was what you were
trying to do to promote, to get people to go to that extra
mile
to come to downtown.
That's right.
You just shifted it to better reflect the identity of your community as an ag-based community.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And as shifted it to bring attention and opportunity to product that we already have or that could come into our community. So, for example, Southern Soy is in Metter. They're a Georgia-grown product, have been for a long time. We wanted to feature something like that at our visitor center. So, but then also other Georgia-grown products that maybe could come to Metter if they had an opportunity. So what we find is a lot of these producers are pretty small, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't go...
Family operations.
They can't financially go into your downtown and rent a space and pay full-time employees and have a showroom and a retail space. But if they could partner with the city and other producers and have, you know, some shelf space, mm-hmm. right? That's an opportunity to present their product, not only to the people of Metter and our visitors on the interstate, but it's a way for them to get to know us as a city, right? So that as they're thinking about, maybe they are getting ready for that retail space, or maybe they do need a bigger production facility, or they, you know, as they're hitting that level where they are ready and need to expand their business, Metter becomes the place that they think about that opportunity to grow their business. And then in the long run, that translates into more business openings in the city of Metter, more jobs being developed in the city of Metter, more investment in the city of Metter. So we just thought this was really a win-win for Georgia-grown products, for Metter-made products, for the traveler on the interstate, for our local producers, and for producers across the state who are going to be looking for a new opportunity to build their business. So it's an exciting time in Metter and at the Welcome Center in particular.
So when was it that you had this conversation with Commissioner Black about being a Georgia-grown city?
July of 2018.
Okay, so we're coming up on a year since yes. you did that. So what are the things besides the kind of the rebranding of your visitor center? Mm-hmm. I know there have been some things going on with your downtown, specifically, I believe, some restaurants.
Yes.
So what are some of the things you've already seen as a result of the, I guess, the recognition and that kind of intentional identification with Georgia Grown, and what are some of the things we can look forward to seeing in Metter in the years to come?
Well, you know, we've had all levels of success already. It's almost mind-blowing what all has happened in not the quiet year since we proposed this to Commissioner Black and his team at the Department of Agriculture. We put some things in place here inside City Hall to make sure that as businesses were coming in, we were taking good care of them. And so those two things together have seen, like you said, a couple new restaurants opening, some new businesses being interested. What's been really exciting, though, is just last week we hosted the first ever South Georgia and Coastal Georgia executive chef culinary tour from Georgia Grown. Yeah, I don't know that I got all that out. It was really impressive.
That was a lot of words. It sounded really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. We had about 100 guests in town at the Metter Depot last Tuesday for lunch. The executive chef team from Georgia Grown, who are awesome, by the way, mm-hmm. prepared the best lunch I've ever had for all of us. We had travel writers and business writers and farming writers in town. We had a lot of our state dignitaries who've been great help to us. Senator Hill was here, and he's been a real advocate for our program, and we appreciate his help. We had, of course, Commissioner Black was here mm-hmm. with all of his team. We had representatives from other parts of the state, from the General Assembly, were with us. We had producers, farmers who were part of the Georgia Grow movement. They were with us. We had officials from the Georgia Department of Economic Development. We had chefs. It was just sort of a wonderful group of anyone who whose world in any way touches the production of food and the preparation of food, and who had an interest in healthy, delicious, locally sustainable food production, and then how that turns out on your plate to be this wonderful meal that you had, including grocers. We had some grocers and wholesale buyers with us. So, yeah, it was a great day. We enjoyed having everyone for lunch. They got to see a little bit of downtown Metter. Our Georgia Grown banners, we put Georgia Grown banners up on all of our light poles downtown, welcoming them to Metter, and we got an opportunity to share with them all the things that we're doing in partnership with Georgia Grown and in becoming a Georgia Grown community. And like I said, it was the best lunch. Sorry you couldn't join us.
Well, I'll get an invitation next year, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And I know from the conversations we've already had that this has already started to have an economic development and business impact. So talk about some of the effects you've already seen there with this.
So with our incentive program and letting our state partners, not just at the Department of Ag, but also like at the Department of Economic Development, know that we were really concentrating on building businesses that had a Georgia Grown connection in Metter, and we really wanted to focus on businesses that were strong enough to expand, maybe give them a presence at the interstate, again, capitalizing on what we had.
Yeah.
We offered an incentive program to businesses that had that connection, that were ready to have a second or third location, and in doing that over the last, I think, maybe year, not quite a year, we've been real proud to announce 7 new business openings in and around our downtown. Yeah, that's great. 17 new jobs, And in a community our size, you're talking about 4,000 people, 17 jobs is really, you know, really important. And then last week, as part of the culinary tour, we were really excited to sign our first tenant to our business incubator, Better Fresh Farms. They are a hydroponic farming, container farming production. Currently, they have two containers and I think three employees, family-owned business, great product, lettuce and radishes and herbs and kale and spinach and all this green stuff that's really great for you, and it actually has a taste.
And when you say containers, you're talking about the big trucking containers, and they're growing it with hydroponics inside a container. That's really neat.
It's really neat. It's really amazing to watch you open the door, and it looks like this container that you would see, like you said, on the back of an 18-wheeler or maybe on the docks, you know, being moved on the ships. And then there's these purple lights that come at you, and it looks very high-tech and next century. And, you know, it's really where...
Looks like a sci-fi movie set.
It does. Probably, yeah? It does. It's purple lights, and you think, well, am I going to glow in the dark? You know, but it's really neat. And the first time I tasted their product, I knew that we were onto something special because, like I said, it had a taste. And, you know, you don't always get particularly greens out of the supermarket that are really super fresh, and they are flavorful. And the owner and operator, founder of the business, Grant Anderson, he says, and this will last in your refrigerator for 2 or 3 weeks and stay fresh. I said, no way. He said, yeah. So he gave me 2 bags. This was when we were first meeting. And I said, okay, here's the deal. The sample you gave me was so great. I'm going home to have salad for dinner tonight, right? Because I need some more. But I'm hosting Thanksgiving at my home in a couple weeks, and I'm going to save the second bag and see if it makes it to Thanksgiving. He says, go for it. You'll love it. It was still fresh. It was wonderful. I served it for Thanksgiving. Everyone at my table was like, the salad's the best thing on the table, you know, at Thanksgiving. So it's really, really quality stuff. We're super proud to have them. They signed all the paperwork with Mayor Boyd last week. They will be here in July. We'll have Better Fresh Farms with 14 hydroponic farms, container farms in the city of Metter, and about $2 million in investment, which is a great direct investment in our local community, no tax abatements, and 20 new jobs coming. And they are going to participate in the incubator program with Georgia Southern. So Georgia Southern's excited about having the first tenant and really being able to partner with our first agriculturally based new business in the community that is really based on technology and research and development, and how can we translate that into even more product and more business development. So really excited about Better Fresh Farms and the 20 jobs and the millions of dollars of investment they're bringing in Metter. And we believe it's just the beginning of even more great things to come with our Georgia Grown and Georgia Southern partnership.
Well, that is really exciting. Futuristic agriculture.
Futuristic agriculture. We need to keep that one. Yeah, that's good.
Now, is there a tour where people can see all the purple lights and see their lettuce grow?
There will be.
Awesome.
Yeah, agritourism, you know, is a big thing, and people really enjoy not only knowing where their food comes from, but having that experience. You know, not everyone knows how the food gets to their plate, right? So we will in time be offering tours to their containers at their new facility that's forthcoming over on Terrell Street in Metter, and we're looking forward to that. And we'll also be offering opportunities for our school kids to get involved. So we're not sure yet whether we're going to place a container at the school or the kids are going to come downtown. But either way, we see some real opportunities to partner with our school, where long-term the goal is even not only for the kids to tour it, but for the kids to be able to work in the containers, learn about hydroponic farming, learn about how technology and farming have lots of overlap and intersections and possibilities for a future for them, and maybe they can grow their own produce that could actually be served at the school.
Well, that's really neat.
Yeah, we're excited about that, and our school system is open to that, and they're a part of our partnership, and we can't wait for Better Fresh Farms to be here in July.
A lot of exciting things going on in Metter. So, yeah. Mandy Cody, city manager of the first Georgia-grown city in the whole state.
That's right.
Metter, Georgia, thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm.
All right, with all that you've got going on in Meta, we've talked about so much in the festival and some of the things to see. You've even referenced some historic properties that I've got an eye of. I'm looking forward to coming and seeing some others like this train depot that you invited me to come visit with you. If a person came to Meta, maybe they only had one day, what would you want to make sure that they got to see or experience? That could be, maybe that's another Blooming Festival. Or a site of historic significance, maybe a particular building. And so what would you want to make sure that someone got to experience in Meta if they just had to experience one thing?
Wow, that's quite a question. Well, the downtown is on the historic register. We do have a museum that has quite a bit of artifacts through the years. It's an old two-story building that has been refurbished and is in remarkable condition. I think it's approaching 100 years old.
Wow.
Our schools, probably something that I'd love for people to see. Interestingly, we've got one of the best school systems, I think, especially in rural, maybe in all of Georgia. We've got, let's see, our high school probably is maybe 12 years old now.
Okay, so newer, not an old historic building,
no.
Something a lot more modern.
Much more modern.
Okay.
And the pre-K through 8 is maybe, this probably is their third year.
Oh, even newer than that. Okay.
Yeah, it's a two-story, $30-something million facility.
Wow.
And it is truly state-of-the-art. What is it when you look into thing? You may want to cut this out.
What do you mean? You're not talking about a kaleidoscope, are you?
Well,
that's all I can almost, think of when
you said
that.
What's the new version where you feel like you're... The depth perception?
VR, the virtual reality.
Virtual reality.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the only place I've seen virtual reality.
Okay.
They've got kids up there with designing houses on the computer.
Wow.
They'll tell them to draw them a house, and it'll have the blocks, and they'll place the furniture. And we went out. There was probably about 5 of us on a panel. And played Shark with them.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with Shark on TV?
Yeah, Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would present projects that they came up with. They would have to have more or less a feasibility study.
Mm-hmm.
Will it work? How much money is it going to cost? What will it take to run it? How many people? And they present it to us,
okay,
to this panel. We would ask questions. And if there was something they didn't know, they would go back and collaborate. And it was amazing. One of them was for animals that no longer had a home, hogs, cows, whatever, and had to estimate the food it would take to
mm-hmm.
feed them.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of some of the others. But it was amazing when you would ask a question. They had done their research.
Yeah.
But that was some of the, this was fourth graders.
Oh, wow. Young.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, these were young. And like I say, they designed the facility that they would need and have it on the computer or mm-hmm. either print it out. But our schools, our graduation rate probably 12 years ago was in the mid-50s.
Oh, wow.
And now it's approaching 90 if it hasn't
wow.
exceeded it.
Wow.
I missed the last year. But
whatever, whatever the final number is, that's some pretty good growth.
Incredible
pretty good increase
growth.
In
yeah.
graduation rate. So.
And they have a after-school program for those that have dropped out.
Mm.
And they can come in and work on their GED.
Yeah.
And we've, I am tickled to death with our school board and the school in itself. Now, great teachers.
I'm used to asking that question because, you know, and I can put myself in this category. Politicians are good at taking a question and then kind of ask you to name the one thing. And I'm used to letting people get away with naming two or three. But that was very interesting that you named historical things, and then here's some very modern things going on. So that was a good combination. So great answer.
Yeah. Sometimes you do something right, maybe.
You're lucky. You still got it. As we wrap up, I want to just really give you the opportunity to speak directly to the audience and tell everybody why they should come visit, maybe why they should come live or start a business in Metter, Georgia. I'll say this too, because we hadn't said this yet, but as you come into, and I remember this growing up because I grew up in Hinesville, and so Metter was kind of close by, same region of the state. There's a little slogan or motto, tagline, whatever you call it, on the city limit sign when it says, "Everything's better in Metter." So I'll let the mayor tell us why everything's better in Metter.
Well, it says it all. Anybody that disbelieves, just come take a look. No, we have been blessed. Like I say, it was a planned community many, many years ago. And by and large, people tend to take pride in their property. There are exceptions to all rules.
Of course.
But with any small community, the commercial retail, and really nationwide, is feeling the pinch. Some of it is because of internet and the accessibility to order what you want and never put your shoes on.
Yeah.
But likewise, we don't have a Walmart, but we've got three Walmart superstores within 30 miles of us in three different directions. And that has taken a real pinch out of the local retail. So it's hurt our merchants, but they're still down there. They're doing a great job. I encourage people to go and see what they've got. And they may not have everything you want, but they may have some of it.
Mm-hmm.
You save the time going. And when you need something for your school project, some contributions or an ad, where are you going?
That's right. You're not going to the Walmart superstore.
That's right. Or where, when mom or dad or you need a part-time job or a full-time job, where are you going?
Downtown.
That's right. And the only way they can be there is if we buy from them.
Mm-hmm.
The saying, shop locally, could not be more true.
Yep.
One other thing I'll say as we close up, we talked a little bit about being elected to office. Well, you may not want to be a city council member or a mayor or county commissioner or whatever, but there are plenty of opportunities for public service with schools, going out and mentoring somebody, recreation, if you enjoy recreation. Go and help those kids. We wonder sometimes about our children, but what are we as individuals doing to help them, guide them in the manner that they need to be guided? So buckle up and go do your share.
There. Well, Mayor Billy Trapnell, thank you so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast and telling us all about why everything's better and better.
Matt, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Billy Trapnell and City Manager Mandy Cody for talking with me. And I again want to thank the City of Metter for their support of this podcast and for their hospitality on my visit to Metter. As always, we thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Southern Mercantile, and Coke Industries for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Urbanomics production that tells the stories of America's great small towns. We release new episodes every other week, featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there, and sometimes exploring issues that affect small towns everywhere. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonant Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcasts on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can hang out with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the towns we visit by stopping by our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We love to show you all the small towners out there, some great images from the small towns we visit, and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in and the places you hear about on our podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you real soon.
We stand adjourned.